When I want to feel the presence of the Lord, I go to the songs that have power. Songs that deal with the cross. Because we can't get so advanced that we forget the cross of Calvary. I don't hear you in here. We can't become so progressive that we forget it's the cross that saves. It's the cross that purchased our salvation. It was his death on the cross that made it so that we can have a right to salvation and eternity. It was the death, it was the bloody, gory, wonderful cross. They would sing, "I love and did my Savior bleed and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" Was it for crimes that I had done? He hung upon a tree. What amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. See, a lot of people don't know those verses. Drops of grief can never pay the debt of love I owe. My shame. Dear Lord, I give myself to thee. It's all that I can do. Then they would say, at the cross, where I stand all night, and the burdens of my heart run away. It was there I received my sight, and now I am here. Have got to know these songs. The children have got to hear the same songs that I heard. You got to hear the old people sing, "Down at the cross, where my Savior died. Down where the cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood of God." Has me singing, "Glory to His name." See, you young people don't know the song. "I am so wondrously saved from my sin. Jesus so sweetly abides. Has me singing,
glory to His name.
Oh, precious fountain that saved from sin, I am so glad that I entered it. It was there that Jesus saved me and keeps me
talk about something. Real talk radio, ain't no funny. A church knows I want the hottest talk show. Real talk is the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it poppin', music got me hoppin'. Who you represent, ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go, I'm in the zone. Can't get enough, turn it
real
out.
Talk, what's Dr. Davenport?
Real talk,
what's Dr. Davenport?
Real talk,
what's Dr. Davenport?
Monday through Friday from 10 to 12, I'm in the zone.
Real talk,
what's Dr. Davenport?
Real talk,
what's Dr. Davenport?
Real talk,
what's Dr. Davenport?
Monday through Friday from 10 to 12, you know it's on.
Following what I believe is the greatest intro music to any show ever, we welcome you back to another live edition of Live with Dr. D. That's me and our co-host extraordinaire Mr. Rook City at Mr. 313. What's going on, big homie?
Nothing much, Doc. How you doing today, man? I'm great.
You sound like you're motivated, sir.
Doc, I told you, Doc, my day don't go right, Doc, unless I'm on with Live with Dr. D at 10 o'clock in the morning, Doc. So when I heard you come on and you had your clip playing, I was A-OK, Doc.
little blood melody by Pastor Donny McClurkin. From, of course, Perfecting Church New York. We thank you for joining us for this Wednesday edition of our riveting broadcast and program. There's a lot we're going to cover. We ran over time on yesterday's show. We didn't get to what I am comfortably calling now Ask Rook, as opposed to Dear Rook. Our take on the Dear Abby situation. Yeah, that works. Of course, we invite you, the listeners, to become participators. If you need some advice on something that's plaguing you, bothering you, or you just want some clarity, you can call in 516-387-1299 and present your problematic calls to Mr. Rook, and he will give you his advice, and I will chime in if I feel it's necessary to offer my 2 cents that nobody asked for. But that's just how we do things. So we're going to start taking calls on that regard, maybe about 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, about maybe the start of the half of the show. Brooke, there was quite a bit of commentary after your, can I call it a rant, as we closed yesterday's show regarding the protection of the pastor and the need for the congregants to protect their leader. One thing that you said was that if you go to a church and you don't feel that you don't feel that your pastor is worth protecting, then maybe you're in the wrong location. You want to, before we go into our real-time topic for today, you want to respond to that or give some clarity on that?
Doc, I mean, I pretty much say how I felt. If you go somewhere and you don't love your man and God to the point where you'll put yourself in harm's way to make sure he okay, then you're at the wrong church to me, Doc. Because that's like a form of love to me, Doc. I mean, you can say you like him because he preaching and he hoop and he give a good message, but at the end of the day, if you're not willing to sit there and protect that man of God, then you need to go somewhere where you can protect it. If it's your uncle, your family members, you protect them, so why not protect your church family member? That's the head of the church family member right there. That's like the father of the house.
That's true. Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes. Of course, you can follow us on social media. You can follow our Facebook page, Live with the Dr. D, live.com/Dr. D. You can follow us on the gram, Instagram, and the Twitter at Dr. D Live, and follow us and comment and so forth and so on. Rook, before we get to Ask Rook today, I announced on the conference line I was on last night our Real Talk topic of the day. And I want to read you this story, and I hope well, we see how the Lord goes with it. This story that actually started about 4 years ago. Here it is. I'm going to read the article. I'm reading off the Fox News site, one of their affiliates. Okay. Here it is. Hold on. Of course, now, it doesn't want to respond, but I got the article on two different devices, so let's see. I want to read it. I want to read it to us verbatim to get a good glimpse of what's the happenings, Captain. And, you know, you got to be careful when you're reading these articles because a lot of times they're editorials, and you have to be careful knowing an article from an editorial because an editorial has nothing but the writer's opinion. A lot of times that opinion takes place over the facts of the case. So here we go. In Oregon City, Oregon. A couple who tried to heal their sick newborn son with prayer and olive oil will stay in prison after a judge upheld their conviction in the baby's death. Daily Mail reports that Dale and Shannon Hickman were convicted back in 2011 and were each sentenced to 6 years in prison. They appealed their conviction. The couple's son, David, died 9 hours after he was born premature at his grandmother's home in 2009. Experts said in the court that David had a bacterial infection and his lungs were not fully developed, so he was having trouble breathing after he was born. The couple said in court that they didn't call 911 after he was born because they were praying. They also rubbed olive oil on their son's head in an attempt to heal him. The two are members of the Followers of Christ Church. Daily Mail reports that the church is known for rejecting medical care for children and relying on faith healing, with the laws using prayer and oil to heal the sick. The couple's attorneys said there's no evidence that the baby would have survived if he had been taken to the hospital. Quote, "I think it's God's will, whatever happens," unquote, said the mother. Doctors said in the court there was a 99% chance their son could have survived if he had been taken to the hospital. Hold on here. All right. But there's more to the article. That's the article. Look, just to recap, baby was born prematurely in 2009. The parents said they were praying. One article said that I read said they didn't realize the baby was having trouble. So they anointed the baby and prayed for the baby, and the baby died. Oregon has found them negligent for not taking the child to get medical treatment, and each parent was given 6 years, 3 months in jail. Doc, what do you think about that?
I'll be honest with you, Doc. When I first read it, Doc, I kind of like snickered at it because it was kind of funny to me because I kind of knew what they were doing already. But then it's like, yeah, man. I feel bad because it's the teaching they under, Doc. It's nothing wrong with having faith in God, but God give us also common sense enough to know that's why they make medicine. But under their teaching, they don't use doctors in medicine. They use God for the healing. So it should be like a lot of those people dying because, you know, you can die from a common cold. But it's crazy. I mean, they had the faith. But it's a form of neglect. This is a newborn. It's really your responsibility to do whatever you can physically to help this child out because they can't do anything. It's a he, actually, but he can't do nothing to defend himself. He can't tell you what's wrong with him. He can't tell you, you know, I need to go to the hospital. He can't tell you anything because he's a newborn. So sometimes you got to think outside the box and say, me being a parent, what can I do? Okay, this oil isn't working. Praying, I'm not going to stop doing that, but let's go to the hospital and let them do something, and I'm going to continue to pray. But 6 years ain't bad for murder, though, Doc.
Well, I don't know if we'll look at it like that, you know. 6 years is not bad for murder, but the reality of it is, I mean, to everything you said, I can understand. But their solution was prayer. I mean, don't we advocate from the Bible, from the biblical perspective, biblical teaching, and for some, don't we advocate the fact that God can do all things but fail? Don't we like to promote that God never lost a patient? You know, don't we have testimony of miraculous healing? You know, the doctor, how many times have we heard that, you know, the doctors have said they can do no more good, and that's when the doctor pulled a little black book, and that's when I opened my Bible, and God manifested healing. You know, if I'm praying and I anoint, believing God's going to help, and then after a while go, you know, I'm going to the hospital, could that be taken as my faith wasn't strong enough and just going to someone else? You know?
No.
These are all the things. I'm sorry.
No, because it's not really going against your faith, Doc, because how you know God ain't telling you to send this kid to the hospital? God wouldn't have hospitals around if they wasn't getting used, Doc. He wouldn't give these people these special talents to help people get healed if it wouldn't be used, Doc. These people ain't just, I'm going to heal people's body and fix broken arms and do heart surgeries out the blue. That's a gift from God, man.
Okay, I want you to stay where you are. I want you to stay where you are in your point of view.
I just hope people don't think that. I hope people just don't think that the only gifts of God you can get is be a preacher or a musician, because He give you other gifts.
Sure. That's a great point. That's good. But I want you to stay where you are, and I must stay where I am. Where in the Bible did somebody get sick and they went to the medical healer? Although the Bible tells us that even one of the apostles, Luke, was a physician. He worked in the medical field. When he came across blind Bartimaeus, you know, he didn't give him an eye exam. When in the garden, when Peter went to chop off the man's, you know, chop the man up and got his ear, don't say Luke pulled out his sewing kit. I said
right.
That. Go ahead.
But they also didn't say he whipped out a bottle of olive oil either.
Well, the Bible says, call on the elder when you are sick, call upon the elders of the church, and they shall pray for you and anoint you with oil.
That's the elders of the church. That oil got to be prayed over. They just said,
we can't say none of this happened. We can't say that, you know, grandma wasn't an elder. We don't know that. We don't know their position in the church. They could have been elder themselves, and they figured if they were there, they need to call on nobody else. We don't know. We don't know.
But what we do know is they use some olive oil. Not holy oil, olive oil.
Well, Doug, and just as you know, a lot of the oil that being pulpit is olive oil.
Well, I know. I done had to go purchase it. Who knows?
Really?
Yeah.
but you know, jokes later on that offline. It's olive oil. And I think that the writer of the article put it in there like that, olive oil. I think they put it in there like that just to be funny, you know, just to really poke fun, if you will, to be sarcastic even over the oil process. Here's my thing. Here's the critical question. Dr. D, if you get sick, are you going to pray or are you going to hospital? It depends on what it is. A couple months ago, I had a tooth that accessed on me, and it hurt it so bad. Prayer wasn't on my mind. I wanted some drugs to kill this pain. You get what I'm saying?
Now, oh, yeah.
I do have the faith to believe that if I had to pray, the Lord could make up the pain. Because before I went to the doctor, I did pray and ask God to back up the pain. And he did. The pain ceased. It dropped dramatically for a while. Just enough time to get me to the hospital. You know. But there's a bigger issue here to me, bigger issue here. And that issue, Rook, is should a person's faith send them to jail? There are people that deliver women who have babies with midwives. They don't go to the hospital to have the babies born or delivered. They do it in the house. That's their religious conviction, you know. I don't understand how this isn't a separation of church and state. I don't understand why, because they got convicted in 2011. And they appealed, and then the Supreme Court struck down their appeal. I don't really see how that happened. And that's why the lawyer said that the Hickmans had no way of knowing that their religious belief would contribute to the death of the child. Now, if the baby had not gotten sick, apparently it would have been no problem. Having birth at home and things like that is not illegal. But they say they didn't realize anything was wrong until after the fact, so their natural inclination was to pray, you know, and anointed child oil. That's what that's what they believe. Now, there are people who call the church that they attend a cult. They call it a cult because they teach healing. Two members of the Followers of Christ Church. I know they have churches, they have a few churches around the country, and some people look at them as a cult because they don't believe in medical help. One report said that they had 78 children have died as part of this church's method, and 10 women have died during childbirth in recent years. You know. But I don't like the idea, personally, of this continuing trend in America. It's been going on all over the country. ISIS is killing Christians because of their beliefs. The shooter the other week at the school was targeting Christians, you know. And this America is still supposed to be a country built on Christian values, supposedly. I'm not sure if I like the fact that, or I shouldn't say like. I'm not. So comfortable with the fact of the government now putting itself in a position to persecute, or should I say prosecute, folks for their religious beliefs. Although it's not surprising because, again, the Bible said that these things will come real. That's what I want to talk about tonight.
I mean, Doc,
you know,
I don't think this is an attack on the church, man. I'm looking at this as more being attacked on parenting. It's like, I feel like they was wrong, Doc. I think they should have took their kid to the hospital. Even if they ain't never been a day in their life, I feel like, hey, you got to give this kid every chance on living that you can. And you're not no doctor. That's not for you to make that call when it's depending on somebody's life. You knew something was wrong. You put oil on them. I mean, you pray for your kid every night.
That's true.
You pray for your kid every night. But when you start putting oil on them for healing, you know something ain't right.
I hear what you're saying. But, you know, for me, it's a very slippery slope because, like you said, it's about parenting. This is limiting the rights of the parent over their children because the parents were the stewards of God to bring their child into the world. The parents will be the ones responsible for raising that child and taking care of that child until that child is able to become a healthy and vibrant member of society, right? Okay.
Right.
Now we're start telling people how they can raise their children all over the world. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. A parent that goes to discipline their child now is subject to prosecution for child abuse. You can't whoop your child. That's how it started. Okay, and we kind of grumbled about that, but we let it go. okay? So now the children have all these rights. They can't pay for themselves. They can't even spell the word rights when they have them. Now this happens. I know this is a little extreme. Well, here, stay with me, Rook. I know this is a little extreme. You have sons. You're raising sons in a country that says that homosexuality is okay. And so your son comes to you and says, I feel a certain way. You're going to say, no, 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 you don't. That ain't right. That ain't right. No, no, that ain't biblical. That ain't moral. That's wrong. The son can now say, you are violating his civil rights. Your thing is, I'm your parent. I brought you to this world. I'll take you out. I'll pay for your food, clothes, this, that, and the third. The government come in now and say, hey, it is not illegal for your child to be homosexual. You can't tell your child that how he feels is wrong and what he wants to do is wrong. Now, I know some people may say it's apples and oranges, but it's not. Because as you said, Rook, this is about parenting. These parents made a judgment call. Now, one, I can understand. I can't say I agree with. But I wasn't in the room. It looks bad. It seems bad. Having a baby prematurely, 2 months early, to me, unless there's a history of this woman giving premature birth, to me would have been a sign, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for bringing that baby to pass. Thank you, Jesus. I fainted out because 2 months early the baby came to pass and still alive. Thank you, Lord. Or we're going to be good stewards. We're going to the hospital. Not to be me. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't in the room. But the effect on the family, Doc, is why I have my problem. That's what scares me, because although the Bible says these things will come, it's happening a lot faster than I thought was happening. I'm telling you, that is what we are. We have already seen the assault on parental rights and how parents raise their children. It's not going to get any better. It's going to continue to get worse. Dear, there doesn't play well on the radio, sir. I pause so you can't wait to come in and give your opinion on it, if you will, you know.
Thanks for the coaching tips, Doc. But, you know, when you get in your rants, Doc, sometimes you just take a pause, Doc. You a preacher, Doc. You know, you take your little pause and you start right. You don't know when you rant.
That was not a rant. Oh, I can rant. That wasn't a rant. I was trying to state my case, you know.
You did a good job.
For
that. We understood your point.
Thank you.
I guess you
wanted
some,
to comment on
some, it. Wanted me to debate with you. I ain't have a debate. I mean,
No.
I get.
You could have just said, I understand. That would have been enough for me. I don't need to debate. You know, you gave your point of view. I listen to you. I want to give mine, too. That's all. That's all it is. That's all I have to tell you. But Bernie, that's all. Are we going to Detroit? Elder Michelle, God bless you. Elder, you're not live on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. God bless you, man of God. I've heard some of what the topic was. I came on a little late. And you're talking about the baby that died.
Yes, Oregon couple. Oregon couple had a child born prematurely. Baby began to have complications after birth, and the parents, the Hickmans, decided to anoint the child with oil and pray as opposed to taking the child for medical attention, and they were convicted and negligent in the child's death and consequently given 6 years and 3 months apiece in prison.
Wow. Okay.
So the real talk topic basically that is a lot. You know, so I posted on one side on social media, since your faith send you to jail. That was one thing I posted. And we're talking about now the pros and cons of basically faith healing and trusting in God holistically or using the resource that God has put in the earth, like medical professionals?
Yeah. You know, it's a whole lot of different entities here. But one thing, they prayed for the baby and they anointed the baby. That was great. That was absolutely great. But at that point, because the baby was born early, usually when the baby is born early, there are some things that sometimes the baby's lungs are not fully developed. And they would need to have some oxygen. You don't have any oxygen at home. You need to take the baby in. The baby valves may not have been fully developed. Baby's heart may not have been fully developed because the baby has not fully developed 2 months. The baby is not fully developed at 7 months, at 6 months. There are still some things that need to be developed. And if they were following along, even with them having a baby at home and following by their rules or with their religion, if they were looking in the book or reading about, they have books now that teaches you where the baby is when he's born inside of the mother. They would have known this. And so they should have, after they anoint their baby and pray, or during the process of anointing the baby and praying, they should have been in the car pushing their way to the hospital to make sure that the baby could receive the proper medical attention that she or he needed at that point, because we don't have what the baby needs. And I'm not saying that they didn't believe, because I have faith and I believe, you know, that I can lay hands and on the sick and they'll recover. But then also you got to use common sense, because he gave it to us. You have to use wisdom.
But elder, doesn't that contradict? Now, what I don't know
no,
is if it's the Hickman's first child. I don't know that. If it was the article doesn't say if they had other children or not. Doesn't specify. But if they never had another child, you know, is it possible they didn't know, you know? But my question was, because this is a conversation, again, that we need to have, because people, this will get people, you know, confused about faith. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in that renewal, it is supposed to put our total trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his word, his way, and his power. For some people, they have a problem with that because they look at it from a holistic point of view. They say, if I put the trust of the Lord in him alone, then I don't have to subject myself to, I have to use the term subject myself because that sounds negative in connotation, but I don't, you know, I'm good. I just call on the Lord. He's everywhere at the same time. He do all things well. He got all power. I should be able to call upon him as his word says, and I should be fine.
Okay, all that is good and fine. But let me give you a greater example. A greater example would be when Jesus healed the man. Which one can I use? The one with leprosy or the one that was blind? And he said, go and show yourself to the physician, so that they can see that you are clean. And then you can go ahead. Because, see, as they were concerned, when you have leprosy, you couldn't live in society. What society?
Right,
So when Jesus healed him, although we know he was healed, he knew that. Jesus knew that. He's God. But he also said, go and show yourself. Why would he tell him that?
For the people.
It was
because
so that
other
people
that was part of the process.
A part of the process. So now I'm believing that God is going, the only examples I can use is the ones that I have. My youngest son was born when he was a month old. He began to have grandma seizures. I took him to the doctor and they told me what was wrong. For years I prayed, God, healing. I could have just said, Lord, heal him, and not give him the medication. But during the process of me praying for God to heal him, there were some things that needed to be done, or if he continued to have seizures, he would have died. So they had to medicate my baby. My baby was so medicated at some point in life that he couldn't function. And so I had to tell them, wait a minute. So what I did was I began to study that thing, read about it, read up on it. And so now we work together as a team, the doctor and myself, along with the fact that I'm still working and believing God for healing. You can believe, it's not a contradiction. I believe God for healing. I have lupus. I believe him for healing. There's some medication that I've been on that I stopped because I believe God for healing. And then when I stopped them, and because I'm believing, I went to the doctor. He says, okay, you don't have to take this one no more, the one I stopped. I stopped another one. Oh, you don't have to take this one no more. Why? Because I'm believing. But I'm still going to the doctor to make sure. Because you have to use wisdom. You just can't. I don't have x-ray vision. We're not Superman. We couldn't see if the baby had anything wrong. Even if it was their first baby, it was born 2 months early. And with any premature baby, every premature baby, there is a medical problem. I'm working in the medical field. I am in the medical field. My degree is in medical, as in health care. And any baby born early, premature, they all have, first of all, breathing problems. Some are born with holes in their heart. Some are born with their lungs are not fully developed. Some have been born without the anus hole. But if you put them in and you give them the right treatment, it can all be done. It would develop. But that's why God has blessed us with people who study and who go to school, and they learn these things so they can help us so that we will be able to survive.
Let me ask you this. Because everything you're saying, I totally understand, you know. And I'm coming from the point of view because there are people who have these general questions. I said at the top of the show and I gave an example. When I get sick like that, I'm going to the hospital, you know, and I'm a preacher of faith. So I don't want anybody thinking I'm one of them guys saying, you know, but matter of fact, if you want to call me one of the people that believe that God can do it without anybody else's help, you can call me that too. And that's my question. Here's my question to you, Elder, to you, Rook. Do you believe that God can heal a person, restore a person's life without the benefit of going to a doctor, taking a pill, or anything like that? Do you think it's possible that God can miraculously heal? Okay, so if we can agree that it's possible that God can give miraculous healing, why can't we give that credit to this couple?
The reason why Bishop, go ahead, Rook.
I'm going to tell you why. Because as Elder Michelle said before, this is a premature baby. It's born 2 months before time. Something in your head is going to tell you, okay, Lord, you're going to heal it. But at the end of the day, you still need to make sure you know what the Lord is healing. You just can't guess, okay, she's having lung problems. No, you don't know. You got to go check and have these x-rays seen. And,
but with a miraculous healing, so everything is wrong?
Yeah, Doc, but don't.
From hangnail to nappy hair.
Doc, but prayer don't work that fast. You got to have patience, Doc. I haven't seen somebody pray about something today and it happens today. It don't work like that, Doc.
Well, I
have. You playing with a child. Like,
it does work like that, baby. I got to wait a minute. It does work like that. It does. I can pray about something today and believe God for it, and God is able to do just that. Just that. He's still the same God that he was when Jesus stood at the grave of a dead man and said, come forth. Same God that brought the little girl to life. Same God. The woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment. She touched his clothes. And because of her faith, she was made whole instantly. same faith of the man who said, come and go to my house, but you know what, I'm not worthy for you to come there. You said, because I've seen nobody that has this much faith, your faith has healed. Go home. By the time they got home, they said the boy was healed. He said, when? He said, yesterday. And there was a time that he was told him that the boy was healed. So, no, I believe that it can be done. All of that.
All
even with all of that and believing it,
mm-hmm.
I still mm-hmm. know that I would take mine just so that I would be able to say, and although I know I'll be able to say, God healed my baby. And how I know, because when I took him to the hospital, what they said was wrong or whatever was supposed to be wrong, it was healed and mended. Period.
We're going to Detroit. We're going to Detroit. Hold on, Elder. We're going to Detroit, 3865. I think this is BL. I have to keep this number wrong all the time. You're live on the air.
Yes. Hello, Dr. D.
We got you now. Good morning.
All right, all right. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Rook City. Good morning, mm-hmm. Elder. I just want to give my little two cent on it really quick. I'm in the middle of doing my little rhyme, whatever. But I think I was listening and I was thinking about it. I believe there's no doubt that God can most definitely do. He can most definitely heal. There's no doubt on God's power. And well, what I think, honestly thinking about it, just speculating, I believe out of one of the two parents, there had to be some disbelief. I believe that between one of the two, there was one of them that were being led by the other one, and the other one didn't believe as much as the other one. You know, then let's just say that the father of the child said, you know, I want to pray over the baby, and the mother was, you know, me was like, okay, I'm following you, but there's, you know, this is my baby. I could see the mother saying, you know, this is my baby. I really kind of want to, in the back of her mind, take my baby to the hospital, and so her faith might not have been there all the way. I just want to say that because you got two people if you had two people that's actually believing in God and actually hearing from God and with discernment and feeling everything that they're doing right in that moment is right, there had to be something wrong with their connection or, you know, or with their actual belief and faith in God. Was they doing this out of religiousness, or were they really doing this, you know, spiritually? Because they were really doing it spiritually, and they was connected, and they had, you know, faith. You know, as we said, you know, like I said, a mustard seed. They had faith, undoubting faith that, you know, they in God to do this thing. That I believe it would have been done, because it's how God works when we have undoubting faith in God for something. So we bound to heaven, we lose on earth, we lose to heaven. And I believe they actually had that true, undoubted faith that what they were doing, both touching and agreeing, that I believe that the situation would have been, we would be talking different about it. I believe that God would have just did that on their behalf, just because of their faith working together and doing that thing. My other thing about it was, okay, let's say they did, and the baby, you know, passed away. Another thing that could have happened, it could have just been ordained for that baby to pass. They could have took the baby to the hospital, and it could have been the same result. The baby still didn't make it, because that just could have been God's divine order. Well, those are just my little things. You know,
before you hang up, when you were talking, I was thinking about something. Again, the baby came to pass at, I think, the husband's mother's house, at the baby's grandmother's house. And I don't know, honestly, if mom was really in a position to make any decision or anoint the unit, because she just had birth. She just gave birth, you know? She just gave birth. Her body is still dealing with the fact that the life that she had carried in it for 7 months was out of it. You get what I'm saying. That's a recuperation time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's a great point of view from it, on it. And that's why I love these conversations, honestly.
Thank you, BL. I don't know if Elder or Rook want to respond to you before I go to the next caller, but I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
I calling in.
Love
you, Dr. D. Keep doing what you're doing.
He has some great
points.
he's absolutely correct. What if one of them, you know, I hadn't thought about that. What if one of them was sitting there and didn't have the full faith and wanted to take the baby to the hospital? What if? You know, that could be another turn, another entity into it, because you have to stand firm in your faith and believe that what you're asking God for, that he could do it, that he will do it. And I guess that makes sense to me, because Jesus asked the man, when he asked to heal his son, he said, well, do you believe I can heal your son? The man said, yes, I believe, but help thou my unbelief.
Yeah.
So great point. I mean, it has me thinking again on what I was saying on a whole nother level, because perhaps maybe somebody wasn't standing and fully believing that it would be possible. And then again, he said something else when he said, well, it could have been just God's will.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter how much we pray.
We're going to LT, 516-387-1299, 516-387-1299. That's how you get on this great conversation. Oh, hold on. It's funny. There's so many callers that the screen is acting crazy. Come on, thing. Praise the Lord. Lady D, LT, you're live on the air.
Good morning. Dr. D, Rooks, Elder Michelle, everybody else who's on the line. I was listening to what BL Smooth said, and I was really kind of sitting up here thinking almost the same thing as far as when it comes to the faith. And a lot of times people put their faith in the wrong thing. So I was just, you know, asking myself, like, did they believe, you know, in the faith of God, or was they believing in the faith of a substance? In the wrong sort, was their faith just built on because I have this anointing oil? Because we know a lot of times we get this healing water, we get this and we get that, and you know, we're believing in this substance or the person that anointed it, but were they really believing, again, similar to what Smooth said, to the faith of God? Were they believing in the right sort? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's what I was thinking about.
Amen.
And that's really all that I have to say. That was just, you know, again, my thinking on were they really believing, or were their faith more in the oil? Because, like I say, it's a, you know, a practice with the water and the oil. Or were they faith truly in God? And so, you
that's
know,
a great...
we have to take a look at all those things. Amen.
That's a great that's again follow up to what I don't know if I like you call him Smooth at all, but that's something I have to pray about. Pray the BL is fine. Amen. But you know, there is something and I think he's on the line. I'm gonna see if he's still been getting back. Making letters, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you know, you brought up something else before Rook and the Elder take it back over about being religious or being spiritual about it, because that also makes a difference. It brought to mind an Acts about the man Cephas, who had seven sons. He had saw Paul casting out demons, and you know, he decided he was gonna go and emulate what he saw Paul do.
What he saw,
and it didn't work for him, you know. And so when, and I think someone said, it might have been you, that we have to be careful, might have been Rook, I forget who it was, we have to be careful of the teaching that we give and the teaching that we witness, because at the church that they attend, the church that the hitmen go to, they believe in faith healing. And so maybe they witnessed the miracle of holistic healing by faith with someone else. And just felt that maybe because those other folk got blessed in healing, they would too. Does that make sense? You know, those other two people. Yeah, although the other family, maybe they was on one accord. They had They had been praying the whole time of the pregnancy. We don't know if, you know, we don't know a lot, but it could have been they just tried to emulate what they seen, you know, and not being Holy Spirit led.
I think that's a very likely, you know, why probably would happen, because a lot of times people do pick up stuff from what they see and try to emulate it and say, you know, well, I think, you know, this can happen, but they don't have the correct, you know, teaching to it or faith to it, you know. And sometimes, too, we'll feel like, you know, we can get it, but God will speak to you. He put, you know, in your spirit and in a situation, like, where you connect it, he'll let you know, okay, no, okay, this ain't, you know, either for, you know, maybe our faith not be there, somebody's faith not be there. And sometimes out of arrogance, we'll say, no, we got it. You know, I believe in God. I'm going to pray. But God can be saying no. But for whatever reason, God could be sending you another way. And if we connected, you know, God could be saying, you know, no, you need to go to the hospital because for whatever reason, not because like of my power, but because somebody that's around, when Jesus has put people out the room, because somebody is around, they're like, if they're hindering what I can do. So, yes, take it to the hospital.
That's true.
And I believe, too, and like you said, you know, going off of what we see, a lot of people rest over the church now because they're trying to lay hands because they've seen somebody else do it, but they pushing people down and, you know, things like that. But they, you know, going off what you know, what they see.
Yeah.
So that's real important
for us to keep
and
just on that, they also go home trying to lay hands on folk unequipped, untrained, and unled, and they go home messed up because something got on them. You know, they wonder why they come waiting here and don't know the difference. Thank you, B. I forgot to let that free. Praise the Lord. Thank you, B. I appreciate you. Yep, that's what they're trying to do. Rook, Doc, I know you're waiting to get back in, man. Go ahead.
No, Doc, I was actually just following along, Doc. I ain't heard nothing wrong yet. It's just, I think I ain't got nothing different to say, Doc. It's pretty much, I said what I had to say.
You know, you've been on a little spicy kick the last couple of days too, you know. But I said I had to say, all right, very good, very well. We ain't mad at you, Elder. Any final thoughts? Because the show has transgressed once again, and we're down to the last few minutes, so we're gonna have to bring this puppy in to the station.
Amen. No, I don't have any rebuttals. I've said everything, and I agree with what was just said. You know, it's the truth.
It is the truth.
It just depends.
All right.
We are. Yeah. It's quiet.
Amen. And again, it goes to just how important what we do and what we say is. Because it's kind of hard to tell folks not to have faith, and it's a difficult needle to thread, you know, God's wisdom versus man's logic versus faith, complete faith, holistic faith, you know, that duality of faith, as you mentioned, Elder, you know, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, that's a duality of faith, you know, a lot of stuff going to that, and I think it's this cubbyhole right here that we're walking in, we're talking in, is why it's so important that we realize and admit that this is a personal walk. We all have the same rules and regulations to follow. When it comes to our relationship with God, it's personal, you know, and he's going to do some things. Here's the thing. From the outside looking in, it's going to appear to us that God's going to be more for one person more than another. That's the appearance from the outside. But we don't know the relationship between the two. Does that make sense? And so that's why emulation is a dangerous thing. You know, unless it's, you know, biblical. Rook, you know, and I brought about the call on the elders of the church, you know, I thought about that. You know, my thing is this. If I'm calling on the elders, if my child gets sick and I want to call on the elders of the church, yes, I hold a position in the Lord's church, and I thank God for the gifting and anointings that I have. But my thing will automatically be this. Apparently, me being who I am in God wasn't enough to stop this from happening. Either, not that it's my fault, but it must be God's will. So I'm going to call for extra help. I'm calling for others to touch and agree. you get what I'm saying? Because apparently my prayers in themselves didn't hurt, but they obviously didn't get the job done because of what we're going through. And sometimes corporate prayer is important. That's why we have to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Corporate prayer is important. Touching and agreeing is important because there's a unity of faith, a unity in the spirit, amen, and the prayers of the righteous. And not necessarily mean just a righteous person individually, but when a group of righteous people get together. Amen. Okay. I know it's Wednesday, but I'm not going to teach Bible class on the line. We're just about out of time. Elder, I know you said you had nothing else, but I'm going to give you the opportunity again as I thank you for joining us and giving your awesome perspective to all the callers that called in, all you that's listening. We really appreciate you because, again, we need conversations like this. But, Elder, you sure don't have anything else before we get – before I turn it over to Rook and we get out of Dodge? You sure? You positive?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank God for Elder Michelle. She was the only woman to call in, amen, consistently on this testosterone show. Praise God. Amen. And give us and she stand up boldly. Amen. A lot of them listen, but sometimes it's just good radio, so we thank God for that.
Amen.
All right, Rook, man, we are 90 seconds out, Doc. At that time, do what you do.
Well, Doc, I enjoyed the conversation on today, Doc. You know what I'm going to say, Doc. It's Wednesday, so go sit in the Lord's face. Catch you in Bible study. Y'all be safe. Y'all be blessed. Until tomorrow, catch me live with Dr. D at 10 o'clock.
All our cast and characters, tomorrow is our last show of the week. Tomorrow is our last show of the week, so we're going to have another highly impact show. We didn't get to ask Rook again today. We're going to do that tomorrow for Freestyle Wednesday. So on tomorrow, looking forward to that.
Thursday.
And listen, you know, today is, yeah, no, we're going to do it. There's no Friday show, Monday through Thursday. This week, no Friday show. I might throw up an old show back up that was good people can listen to. I might do that, but we'll see how that goes. But listen, today is Back to the Future Day. If you've seen the Back to the Future movies, Michael J. Fox and the other guy, I can't think of his name, Christopher Lloyd, playing Marty McFly and Doc Brown. They got in their DeLorean, and they went back in time. They came to October 21st, 2015. The Cubs won the World Series. He saw hoverboards. He saw video chats on phones and TVs. And all those things are present. The Cubs may win the World Series this year. We don't know. They're not looking good. They might win the World Series. We got hoverboards now. They ain't like they was in the movie. But we don't even need TVs for video phones. So just a little tidbit of pointless information, Back to the Future Day. So, hey man, look at the movie, look on YouTube, get some sound clips, see what you've seen in the movie, and see how it closely relates today, and have yourself a good laugh. That's how you do that. All right, thank you. God bless you. We'll do it tomorrow, last show of the week. We'll do it better. In Jesus' name, Godspeed to everybody.